But 2 weeks ago, yesterday, on Saturday morning, I was at the Opelousas General Hospital in the waiting area of the emergency room, working on my homily to be back with you all that afternoon, when my mother was brought into the emergency room after having suffered a cardiac arrest, and she passed away midday on that day. So that's why I haven't been with you all for the past couple of weeks. I would like to thank everybody here for all of your prayers, for your thoughts, for your words of condolence, your consolation, donations that you've made. Also, in a special way, to thank those who made the trip all the way from Ville Platte and the surrounding areas to Church Point for Mama's wake and funeral mass. Many of you couldn't make it, but your prayers, your condolences, your kindness is deeply, deeply appreciated. It says God's ways are not our ways. I expected to come back that afternoon, but as I said, Mama suffered a severe heart attack, and I was able to be with her whenever she died. So that's kind of a sad but a beautiful thing, to be able to give her the last sacraments and give her absolution before she went home to God. But again, on behalf of myself and all of my family, we thank you for your prayers and your concern. That event, along with the season of Lent itself and the readings for this weekend, bring to mind the words of one of the Psalms that says, "Like the deer that longs for running streams, so my soul longs and thirsts for you, my God." I know there's many times, because we live in a very hot area, that we get sweaty, we start working outside, we can develop a deep thirst, and there's nothing quite as satisfying as having something cool to drink at a time that you feel parched and dried out. As our bodies crave that kind of hydration, our souls, more than that, need, desire, and should crave the grace and presence of God, like the deer longing for running streams to have a soul thirsting for God. Think back to those cartoons where you've seen a man that's crawling around in the desert, tattered clothes, and he's looking out and crying out for water, water. Desires nothing else but to be hydrated once again. It's kind of like us. Apart from our heavenly homeland, apart from the actual presence of God being face to face with him in this world, we are in a desert of sorts. Like that man in tattered clothes, crying out for something to give us satisfaction deep within us, something that only God can give. And just as in the desert, sometimes you might find an oasis, which is kind of an anomaly. It's a water source in the middle of a dry area. Sometimes we have places where we can come to be with God. It might be your favorite place to pray at home. It could be here in church, in the chapel for a holy hour, wherever it is, at least find some rest and some refreshment, just as a person in the desert finds that rest in the shade of the palm trees or the water from a cactus, something there to offer us some respite, some relief. But then we have to go back out into the desert again. And we can sometimes find ourselves affected by the things that will affect us always in the desert. That delirium that comes from the heat and the dehydration, causing a mirage. We think we can find some satisfaction in things apart from God, a false hope, and find ourselves in a worse situation than before. As I said, we are in this world in a desert of sorts. And sometimes we find ourselves blinded by the sands and wandering away from God, who alone can give us satisfaction. But the season of Lent reminds us that we should be turning not away from God, but reorienting ourselves toward him, growing closer and closer by our works of penance, our acts of charity, our own self-deprivation, our prayer, back toward Christ. That's the question we need to ask ourselves at this point in the season of Lent. Is Christ, is his grace, is our life in Christ our deepest desire? The saints tell us always to prefer nothing to the love of Christ. Do we? Do we thirst for his holiness? If we thirst for Christ, think of this. Nothing compares with Christ's desire for us. Think about that. As much as we desire heaven, there is nothing that we can ever do that compares to the desire that Christ has for you and for me, his thirst for us. We think about Jesus hanging on the cross and he utters those words, "I thirst," from the cross. And of course, what is Jesus thirsting for? It's not water. It's not wine that's going to be laced with myrrh. No. Christ is thirsting for souls. Your soul. Mine. It's a thirst that will not be satisfied until the very end of time, the consummation of the world. As we see in his conversation with the Samaritan woman, you have Christ who's there, and he who thirsts is actually offering us a drink. The drink that comes from himself, the rock of ages, whose very side was rendered in death, and from which flowed the fountain of eternal life. In the side of Christ we see blood and water, the blood that comes from baptism, his body offered up in sacrifice, the blood that comes in the Eucharist rather, his body that is offered to us in sacrifice, offered to the Father on our behalf, and the waters of baptism that cleanse us from sin and give us a renewal in life. He is the fountain of life itself. In the Samaritan woman, we see the first image of the church. The church is born from the side of Christ, from his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, the water of baptism. But what do we see in her? Somebody who is apart from God, a Samaritan woman, a Gentile, who has half the truth, who has committed adultery and continues to do so, as we do when we decide to be unfaithful to God. A woman with half belief, riddled with shame. But what does Jesus do? The same with her as he does with us. He takes the initiative and he calls out to her as he calls out to us. He said to her, "Give me a drink." What he's asking us is, "Give me what you have, and I will give you what I am." What a profound exchange. "Give me what you have," Jesus says. "Your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, your strength, your life, give it all to me, and I will give you what I am. I will make you something different. I will give you life eternal. I will change you and transform you to make you like myself. Desire me as I desire you." And so, my brothers and sisters, as the psalm instructs us, if today you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't turn a deaf ear. Come to him. Come to him with praise. Come to him with thanksgiving. Bow down before him. Give him the honor and worship he deserves, and kneel before the Lord God who made you, following him unreservedly. Follow as his flock, the shepherd who guides you, and sing joyfully to the Lord. May we cry out with the Samaritans on that blessed day, "Lord, you are truly the Savior of the world. Give us that living water always, that we may never thirst again."